to the 4Jack Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is season 5 officially of the 4Jack Podcast, and what an evolution this show has undergone. From the team, our sponsors, our guests, wow. A massive thank you to everyone that's contributed and continues to support and share in our success. Season 5 promises to be our best season yet. We're staying true to our fundamental ethos of utilizing the platform to share the untold stories and amazing achievements of how golf truly impacts, connects, and is celebrated by many. As we rapidly approach the end of 2022, we'd like to wish everyone a safe and joyous holidays, and Johnny's mom a very happy birthday. And before we get into it with tonight's said special guest, we're heading down to warmer climates to check in with the director. Derek, what's happening in SoCal today?
Christmas in SoCal. I'm used to the desert for so long, but it's funny. I was out and about today and running errands, getting presents for people, and it's never ever a bad thing when you see holiday lights in the ocean. So being a Minnesotan, that's just a different world. I'm here for it. I don't care about taxation. I don't give a shit about anything. My day was better than yours weather-wise, and you know what?
Yeah, for
Canadians
sure.
Listening, suck it. Minnesotans listening, suck it. Our guest is in Toronto, the so-called center of the universe, suck it. It never fails. We are absolutely killing it in Southern California. So as you can see, it's a joyous event, and our guest is what? Is this 4 or 5?
This is 4.
It's a big time, you know? We're going to – and it's by the way, now, yeah. Finally, I can pump Callaway. I don't have that other damn company that was the sponsor when I was asked to do this damn show. So I've got one of the geniuses of one of my favorite people and also with one of my favorite companies. So I don't know. I might have some ties to Callaway Parksy. Who knows? I might be a master staff professional. We never know.
That was romantic. I'm speechless. I'll try and do as good as you did here. Without further ado, a man that needs no introduction. A little less hair by design, and he's getting his reps up in the gym, as I'm seeing on
social. He looks buff, Ed.
He does, man.
He's posting workout vids, and he's doing selfies. I mean, look at that. Pumping here. Like, that's God, talk about inspiration. That's holiday. That's,
this is going to be the fitness show with Johnny Wonder tonight.
That's resolution shit right there when he bought that bicep up.
Midlife crisis. Midlife crisis shit is what it is. I'm being honest.
There you go. I love it. Welcome back for your 4th installment, Johnny. Although the IRS may now require you to be officially on our payroll, the legendary Johnny Wonder.
Hello, gentlemen. It's always an honor and a pleasure and a privilege to be on the 4Jack Podcast to talk golf and other shenanigans. So I'm here, ready.
You feel like family. You're getting ribbed pretty hard right out of the gate there. I like this. This is a good start to the official 5th season.
I feel like any kind of social pushback you get are typically from the people that you love and cherish the most. So when I walk into a room, I expect to get a little bit of some fastballs down low, some breaking balls, you know, high and in and whatever. Maybe that's the opposite of that. But I was expecting to get to fuck with a little bit, but I'm happy to be here.
It's quality. And you're spending some quality time up in Canada. It's nice to see. You're paying some homage to the brethren country, which is very nice.
It's an interesting time to be in Canada.
Yeah. It's cold.
It's cold. It's a little, they're trying to, I don't know, you can cut this part out, but they're trying to revive COVID up here. So they're doing that thing again. They scare the shit out of everybody.
They've been talking about masks mandates again here out in Vancouver. And I think there's going to be like an uproar and burning, buildings will burn and cars will get flipped and people will be, not very happy.
Kind of funny, how that happens post election season, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's whatever the obvious thing to do to piss people off. You know, this government seems to be multiple major champion at that.
Yes, exactly. Speaking of major champions, you were telling us off air. You got a 24-hour stint back down to the desert to hang out with a special someone.
Yeah, so we are in so it's December. So I turned some middle December. So this is typically for me a very busy season because we not only have birthdays, like my birthday was yesterday, my girl's was yesterday, my son's is today, my mom's was on the 11th. It's a big week, but it's also, I can't tell you the name of the new driver, but it's driver testing season. It's what all of our staff, basically from, say, late October until you know, Kapalua starts is when we have all of our guys in it. It's not just one fitting. It's, you know, for our big dogs, it's two or three different fittings that they'll go through. They'll see the prototype, you know, maybe in the fall, and then, which we did with John Rahm in Arizona. So he got the first look at a head with no paint on it. And then next step would be what happens next week, which is he's, you know, we're pretty close to having it dialed in. So he'll go hit balls, you know, in his case, probably for 20 minutes until it's perfect. And then he'll go chip for 4 hours, and then he'll hop on his private jet and fly out of there. That's kind of how it goes. He's the easiest guy to fit because he doesn't change any variables, his swing weight, his length, loft, shaft, you know, rack glue, any kind of internal weight. He's always exactly the same. As long as the driver, you know, he gets an uptick in like dispersion or, spin, like the spin rates get tighter, as long as it does that and looks good, he's super easy to please. So
what's the general sort of consensus been about the new material?
Well, the biggest surprise, and once again, I can't tell you too much, but for the tour guys, I'll keep it specifically to them, it's just downrange dispersion, which to the consumer is not going to mean much, but it's the easiest way to explain it is off of our new technology, the ball holds its energy longer downrange. So, you know, once it gets to the last 25% of the way down, you know, and it's a combination of the golf ball and the club, but the club really fucking helps in that case. The ball's holding on to a lot of energy, which in turn helps continue to regulate the spin, which keeps it on a tighter line. And, you know, your dispersion rate gets, you know, there's a circle. And with the old driver, it might be as big as a 12-inch pizza. Now we're getting as big as an 8-inch pizza. So for those guys, that's one extra fairway. Yeah, that's, for one thing, that's maybe one or two extra fairways a tournament, which could mean fucking $1 million. I mean, who knows?
And Parksy, I got mine on Tuesday being master staff, and I will tell you that 4.5-5 yards and spin rates about 280 to almost 300 south. So it's Johnny's not lying. It's the real deal, and I don't have the talent of the guys he's talking about. So it's the real deal.
Yeah, it's good. It's like I want to say this to whoever like is a gearhead that listens to the show. Days are gone of if you are a year-to-year driver buyer consumer, you're not going to get 20 yards anymore unless you get stronger. And a true quality golf club, will, you know, you'll hit it out of the middle if it's properly fit, and it'll have a lot of integrity. I mean, you hit a good shot, it's a really good shot. If you had a bad shot, it's still pretty fucking good. These drivers, you know, without telling you what their name is, the biggest surprise at our testing at RSM and over the last month and a half, people just can't believe where the ball's flying out of the toe and the heel. And Rogue, our previous driver, was really, really good for that. And then they're like, well, how did you do that? I hit that like dead out of the toe, out of the top of the toe, and it spun this and it ended up there. Like that's nutty. So they we'll have Callaway's gonna have a huge year. Like, you know, whether everybody in the market brought the heat this year or they didn't, like we're always going to have the best year with what we got. I mean, it's one of those years you go and you got Rodman, you got Pippen, you got Curry, you got Jordan. I mean, we got a squad going into this next year. So like, this is going to be a fun year. And if we win majors, if all of a sudden our boys, you know, a couple of our boys pick off majors, it's going to take a great year and make it even, it's going to make it fucking ridiculous.
That's exciting times. What about shaft technology? Because we can't get into the makeup of the golf club physically, what about shaft tech? Anything coming down the line in that respect?
No, I mean, what they're getting really good at is making lighter, stiffer, and at the same time still feel pretty good. Like, you know, the Mitsubishi Tensei 1K product, for example, feels really good. It's also quite stable and it's got quite low torque, but it feels good. So the materials are getting better and you could play it at 50 grams. Obviously the Ventus, you know, red, black and blue TR, which is maybe a tick stiffer than the normal Ventus. But the thing that people need to realize about shafts is they're just a timing mechanism. That's really all they are. So if you go watch Martin Borgmeyer or Bryson DeChambeau, all those guys, the long drivers, they all use Whippy regular shafts. They don't use double X, like none of them. They all want a sledgehammer at the end of a bullwhip. So that's the importance of going and getting custom fit, because if you're like, well, I swing at 110, I should be an X. It just depends on how you deliver the golf club. You might be an R. I mean, it's become such an ego thing. Your shaft flex, the right one for you is whatever one gets you in the right launch and spin window. And you make the club go fast. So
yeah, I was gonna say, Derek, you can probably attest to this. You've done a lot of fittings over the years, and with the sort of not even the introduction of the launch monitor anymore, because that's kind of like a thing of the past. Everybody has one in their back pocket nowadays, but it's true. I mean, it's all about the fit nowadays. It's not about the ego.
Well, you know us, we don't offer demo clubs. So we have Callaway, obviously, as our major sponsor, and Raptor Academy, and they're our number one, and it's not close. And when we hit the stuff and we do this stuff, and we've got the full fit and all of that. But Johnny alluded to it earlier. I mean, the lineup coming out, it's not just the driver. It's really good from top to bottom. And then you throw Roger Cleveland and what Jaws Raw and some of these other things going in. And as he alluded to use that again, I mean, we're kind of just talking about super bags, right? And that's the reason that I'm so pro Master Staff, and I'm so blessed to be part of that team, is that the iterations that they're doing on supercomputers and what they're coming out with. And, you know, if you think that life is going to pass you by quickly, you're correct, because the stuff coming out is so good across the board, right? Like what these guys are doing, and, you know, Acushnet catching up a little bit and some of these other companies. But I will say it until I'm done. There's nothing like the team that's, you know, a part of Callaway and where they're at, and between research and development and some of their internal mottos and what we're watching. But like, as I thought the best thing he said is the toe heel side of this, and talking about ball speed, and he's talking about energy retention and dispersion. I'm like, these are real things that are going to help my members. And, you know, as I'm so lucky to just continue to just kill it with Callaway and do these things, the reason why is every year we're doing this between Great Big Bertha and different weights and what used to be Epic Star and a certain different, there's cultures, there's things that they take into consideration that as a retail person, my job is to sell and to make people look good, right? And I think I do it in a different way than Johnny does it. But one of the reasons we love to have him on the pod is he relates to that 1% of the world that gets to touch this stuff at that level on the professional tours. And it's fun to talk about that. You know, we'll get into Mav a little bit with his irons in here in a couple of minutes, but you just talk about some of the things that are out there and some of the things we do, you know. And I love to have Johnny on, because obviously I'm pro what he's talking about, because I believe in it and I see it every day. And I just spent last week with Luke Williams, and you're talking about, you know, between him and Sean and what they're doing with the putters and going with, I've seen what's coming out. And I just, there's just no miss, right? And there's just nothing like selling Mercedes or selling Teslas right now. Like, to have that in your repertoire and doing it at that level, and then to have people that can push the social media and can interact with these people like Johnny and some of these other guys, like, that's really the way of the world, right? And I'm proud of that. And one of the things that I'm going to ask Johnny next is, let's talk a little bit about some of the iron testing and some of the things, again, about the name we can't talk about, but let's talk a little bit about what you're seeing and what you're feeling and what you're talking about between there and some of the other clubs.
Well, without revealing too much, once again, I mean, I gotta be very careful.
Yes, it's an unrevealing podcast this evening.
Yeah.
It'll make sense this. In a month, right?
Yeah. Exactly. I'll say this, and this is a sort of a broad statement across how Callaway works. And, you know, it's that way at a lot of companies, but I would say Callaway specifically, because you're only as good as your R&D and your CEO. So if your CEO has big ass balls and he knows how to hire really smart people, and he's not afraid to spend money. Chip has never been afraid to open up the checkbook. So the one thing that happens when you get into a year like this or whatever, and we've had good years. I mean, Rogue had a huge year, and Epic Speed was a fantastic driver, and Maverick was, you know, Maverick was okay. It was before I was there, so it's probably why it was not so great. But like, Callaway's always made good driver, but what you're up against is when they are firing on all cylinders, you're up against kind of a machine with, you know, a very deep R&D program with a lot of resources and the ability to kind of do whatever they want. So when they discuss, you know how we're excited we were for Rogue ST to come out. And it was even whispered back then that Rogue ST was the first kind of, foot in the pool into where we were going, which is to create, we're all about golf course drivers. We're always going to have the fastest face. We just are. Callaways are fast fucking drivers. But what they're doing with the AI now, and how they're, you know, perfecting jailbreak and perfecting weight distribution and, you know, really honing in the materials, the flash face on a driver and the irons, you know, it's like, if you don't see the back of it, it's got bumps in it, right? Because it's soft, you know, it'll be thick in one spot and thin in the other. And that's all just to regulate spin. And they're doing that with supercomputers. So when you have a company that's willing to do that to get the ball online, like you're going to have a hard time and a hard time beating a company like that. That's why we get so excited, because it's like it's like Red Bull racing. We got the best driver and we got the best car. So, you know, if we don't obliterate the field, it's on us. Like we just didn't tell a very good story.
Yeah, wasn't deployed properly.
So what, really quickly, you know, as it pertains to, you know, any iron we have coming out, the one thing that they're doing is they're packing a shitload of technology into smaller and smaller packages. And, you know, that's what I'll give you about the new stuff that's coming out is they made, you know, they put like a, you know, an assault rifle on like a little Glock, like with a rocket launcher. It's like packed into this little tight, little awesome looking little package. And it's very impressive. So when you see it, the first time I saw it, I was like, how did you get all that into that? It's crazy.
Damn, girl. How'd you get all of that in them
jeans? Yeah, girl. That's exactly where my head went too.
I like it. Okay, well, let's steer out of the golf club stuff, because obviously we're continually dancing around. And we don't want anything. Yeah, we don't want anything divulged. Yeah. Let's talk about the bullpen. Maybe dive into Jimmy Walker, and obviously we want to talk about your boy Sam Burns. So what's going on with Jimmy?
You know, he's great, and I can't help but smile when I think about that guy. So, you know, he I don't want to say he quit, but he kind of retired for a little while. He wanted to take a step back from the game, and he needed like a mental health break. And it's not in the sense that, you know, he needed a timeout or like a wellness, you know, wellness retreat. It wasn't that. It was, you know, Jimmy Walker's a great golfer and has been a great golfer his whole life. And when you are that capable and your mindset is, if I play good, I win, because that's kind of what he was used to. If his A game showed up, he was in the hunt for he won. Especially, you know, for the 4 or 5 years, that's what he brought. And when you can't do that at the level that you're used to, and granted, he had Lyme disease, and it's not fun mentally. It's like then you become not happy. Then you're not happy at home doing the things that you love. And him and his wife have a really cool marriage. Like, they have a lot of fun. And I think he was just not having fun going out and playing PGA Tour golf. So I was like, happy. There's no expectations. He's like, I'm going to give this last shot, and I guarantee something will happen. He'll keep his card. Something goofy will happen. He'll have a top three somewhere or top two. He'll do like a full, I think he'll do like a Steve Stricker-ish type little, you know, comeback player of the year thing, because he's always hit it really well. But he's happy. Like, when he goes out there, he's not going to play 40 starts. He'll play 25 tournaments, and he's like, when I show up, I'm gonna be ready to play and ready to have fun. And like, I don't have any expectations. If I shoot 80-80, fuck it. If I shoot 60-60, fuck it. Like, I want my sons to see me play well, because they're old enough to understand.
He can always go home and work on his gout, right? Eating red meat and drinking red wine. So that's the fallback.
Yeah. So he's got a good life, man. He's him and Aaron do it right. So no matter what, he's going to be fine. But I would love to see him play Jimmy Walker golf, you know, even if it's for just a short while, just so his boys can see it, because they've never seen it, like been old enough to understand it.
Yeah, he seems like such a good dude. Is he a good chef? He's always cooking shit on Instagram.
He's legit. Yeah, he came over last year at the Amex and came over and brought a bunch of steaks over. And everybody calls my dad Old Bud. So him and Old Bud just sat next to the barbecue and told war stories. And Jimmy's got these big fucking steaks and he's queuing them up. And he's just like he's a true man of the people, man. He's like, he's legit. Yeah.
Salt of the earth kind of dude.
Yeah, he's great. That's really cool.
I respect his game for sure. He's always hit it really well, and it's nice to see him playing well. He was kind of like, he was hanging out with Ricky and those guys when those guys were all kind of front line. So he's a fun personality to be in that kind of zone.
Those guys like it. Him and Ricky are still close, and you know, he still talks to JT. It's, you know, those guys, you know, if I'm honest, JT kind of moved on to the Tiger thing. So him and Fred couples seem to be playing sort of the same social game where you know, you buddy up a Tiger and then you just kind of get whatever that attracts. And, you know, Jimmy's got his buddies. Fowler, whenever they're off together, like they're still pretty tight. Like Ricky's like that. Ricky doesn't move on from his friends. Like if you're his friends in 2010, you're his friends now. You're his buddy now. Like that's kind of how he is. So Jimmy's got his buddies, but you know, I will say when he goes out on tour now, he kind of just, you know, he's got a caddy that he likes, and sometimes I'll go walk practice rounds with him just to shoot the shit. And he's got his tight little bubble, and he just goes out there and hits balls and gets ready and goes and plays. And then, you know, has a few steaks and some 10 figures of bourbon at night. Calls it a day.
Off to the races.
Yeah.
I like that. Sam Burns, what does that name mean to you?
Well, he's like, how do I say that? I don't want to say he's like my kid brother, but like if my job had a kid brother person like on the staff, it would be him. Because when I first started at Callaway, one of my main assignments was to help him, help the Sam Bird story get out there. Because this is, you know, he was, I don't say he wasn't anybody, but it's like 130th in the world. Like, and, you know, I don't want to say we've grown close. Like, we're not like he's spending holidays and hanging out together, but like, you know, as work colleagues go, I'm real proud of how far he's come. Like, he's definitely become a top 10 player in the world. Like, he went from Hungary to getting that, like, I'm in the top 10 or top 15 now, and I'll stay here for 10 years. So he's, you know, his vibes shifted in a good way, you know, cause he's all, that's why I kind of call him the rich man's Dustin Johnson, because it's kind of what he is. Like, he's just, he's all piss and vinegar, and he's got the swag, and he knows exactly who he is, and he's a good kid. Like, I've gotten to know him and his parents a little bit, and his brother and his wife Carolyn, and his caddy Travis Perkins is a cool guy, and his coach Brad Poland's a good buddy of mine. So he's got a good camp around him. So, like, what do I think of the kid? I adore him, and I hope I'm there when he wins a major, because you know, I don't want to say I'm fanboy number one, but like, I'm part of that Burns camp.
Yeah, you're definitely up there, I would say, on the list, because you got eyes on him.
Right, and that's, I mean, even the last time we were on, right, you were ahead of that. You were on the come on that one, and it's like, it was all, and it's funny thing is you talked a little bit about match play swag and some of the things that he carries, and I think we saw that, right? And I think that there's a lot to be said for that. He became one of the assassins when he really didn't have to be, and he just kind of fit naturally, as you're kind of talking now, which was kind of great to see.
Yeah, he's got that, like, Stu Hegstead's a good buddy of mine, and Nico Bellini's another one, and we talk about like that, the piss and vinegar aspect of being elite at golf, right? And like Nico Bellini, for example, who's probably the closest thing to a little brother I have, he's one of my best friends in the whole world, from a talent perspective, has all the talents that you see on the tour. I mean, even up to the, like, the Rory McIlroy level, as far as what he can do with a golf ball and his control over a golf ball. Like, Nico's world-class, whatever. Has been since he was a kid. The thing that he doesn't have is he doesn't have that fuck you, like, that chip on a shoulder that the guys that make it do. And, like, Stu Hagstad, for example, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you guys know Stu, but it's an interesting story. But he's, like, you know, he and I have become chummy. But he does have that fuck you, but he doesn't have the talent that Nico has. And he knows he doesn't. That's why he never turned pro. He's like, I'm mentally tough and I have great parts of my game, but what he has is that uncompromising need to succeed in golf. And he doesn't care what people think about him. And Sam has that a lot. So does Rom, and so does Xander, and so do the guys at the top. They're not worried about who's doing what. Like, they think they're the best, and there's just a matter of time before they show everybody. That's kind of how they walk around.
Yeah, he had a great year last year. It'll be nice to see him maybe break through and push on a major this year. That'd be really cool.
I would love to see that. Well, especially if he won like at LACC, because that's a perfect golf course for him to win on.
And I think that tour staff has a lot of those guys just sitting at that doorstep, and I think it's going to be a great 23.
I'm telling you what, we're at this, we do our initial driver fittings at RSM, and that's the first time I'd seen some of our young staff, like the like Robbie Shelton's of the world and the Will Gordons and like some of these kids that were on KFT that came up. If we have 20 staffers, you know, cause you gotta remember we have Francesco Molinari and Alex Norn and we have Eric Van Roon. We have a thick staff, right? But if any of these kids from KFT even do anything remotely, just normal, like Will Gordon and Robbie Shelton, for example, they could be top 20 in the world. No problem. Like, they hit it so good and they're so confident and they're just, you know, coming off the Korn Ferry tour. So, you know, Adam Svensson just finally won. He'll be the best Canadian in the world in fucking 3 months. Give him 10 more tournaments and he'll show everybody he's the number one Canadian in the world. He's that good.
He's a good player. Yeah.
Yeah.
Never had one.
He hits it like he strikes it, man. It's scary. It's really scary how well he hits it.
A lot of BC products doing well out there, which is really cool.
Yep.
What's going on with Rocco? You spend a lot of time with Rocco. He's kind of like your your uncle. You're starting to look like Rocco a little bit. I'm getting
a little bit. I'm getting old, man. No, so this is people ask me. Look at this. I just cut all my hair off.
I know you chopped them off. What happened? That was good flow.
So we have a bunch of videos to do, and I have to look like I have to look. My hair was getting a little out of control. It's funny. People ask me this all the time. Like, you know, who are your best buddies out on tour? And I'm like, you know what? To be honest, I don't have. You know, they're not your buddies. Like, we're not friends. Like, you know, your acquaintances. You meet, but I do have, you know, three I would call buddies that are my friends that are players, and that's Walker, Rocco, and I would throw Chucky Hal in there, of guys that I talk to. Not necessarily about golf, but like, you know, we'll talk shit, we'll talk shop, we'll, you know, maybe on Christmas, you know, like Christmas, Walker and Rocco for sure. Like, we're trading Christmas and happy birthdays, and Charlie, I'll talk to, you know, once every couple of months, but we'll talk about everything. You know, what's going on? How are the kids? How's this? How's that? What are you working on? Like, those are buddies. The rest of them, I love. Sam's in there. I'd throw Sam in there as well. But that's kind of how it has to be. Like, I'm a marketing guy, so I have to, you know, we get along great, but Rocco's one of those guys that when I met him, if he wasn't Rocco, if he was like a cigarette salesman from New York, I'd still be buddies with him. Like, we kind of speak the same language. So, and I'm friends with his wife, Jess, and met a bunch of his family. And he's just, you know, he's a nut job just like I am. So, like I said, we both speak crazy. So
crazy gibberish.
Yeah.
He seems like he's a lot of energy. Is he a lot to handle in a room?
Not really. Like, he's actually pretty, he's social. Like, when you turn him, like when he's, you know, he's got a group of people to be Rocco in front of, but if it's just him, like, he's like, you know, he's normal. Like, he's not like, he's not like a fucking cracked out cat. He's just, you know, he can focus on a topic and talk about it for 5 minutes in a row. And like, yeah.
You know, isolate a thought for more than 5 minutes.
Yeah. He could definitely do that.
That's awesome. What's going on with you in your golf game right now?
Awful.
Really? Awful.
So this is where we're at. And it's one of the, like, you know, I started working out obviously again, like 4 months ago, and trying to get to 160 pounds. Cause I'm, you know, I'm 5'10", but I'm always been pretty skinny and lean, and, you know, and I want to get bulk up. I've always been pretty wiry strong, but I'm like, I want to get fucking strong. Like, I want to feel strong. So I'm getting there. I'm at 158 now, so it's really working. But as far as my golf game's concerned, like, my golf swing is so bad and has been so bad for so long, and it requires so much timing to work, that if I'm not hitting balls constantly, I can't. It's the way Vijay Singh, people wondered like why Vijay Singh hit so many balls. It's because he had multiple variables in his swing that required timing. So the only way that you can groove that swing is to hit a shitload of golf balls, right? And that's the way mine is. Like, I pop out of it, the club gets all over the place. But when I can groove it in, I hit it really good. But when I'm playing 25 times a year and only actually striking the golf ball when I'm on video or if I'm playing, it's hard to get good. So what's frustrating now is I could go out one day and stripe it and be like, dude, this game is easy. Like, I hit it just like I did 20 years ago. And then the next day I can't hit anything above like the second groove. And, you know, just struggling to break 80. I'm making 60 footers to shoot 78.
Sucks to be human.
Yeah, because my ego tells me I'm still a good player, but, you know, time and reality tell me, like, well, you are, but you're never going to be what you were because you don't fucking play. So you're not going to be any good.
It's that trade-off. You only get out of it what you put into it, right? Which sucks.
Pretty much. You want to hear a funny story? I don't know if I ever told you the story. I got stories today. So I forget the name of the – I think it's David O, actually. He's played for SC. It's either him or On Lee, one of those players. So they had just joined Sawgrass. This is like 10, 12, 15 years ago. And that was back when everybody was a member at Sawgrass. You join there as a, you know, a rookie or rookie on the Korn Ferry Tour. You get there and that's where you practice, because that's where the guys practice. So this kid gets out there and it's like 6 a.m., gets to the range at Sawgrass. And that's just him. And he pulls up at the end of the range. He sees, and it's VJ's down there at 6 a.m. with shorts, bucket of water, and like two huge buckets of golf balls. And he's there. He's got his whole apparatus set up with his sticks and his glove under it. He's just in there. And both of the the kid gets up there and goes, you know what, today, he says this to himself, I'm gonna outgrind VJ. My first time at Sawgrass, I'm gonna outgrind this guy. So he goes through the whole bag, you know, goes lobber to driver, goes through it again, 1 hour, 2 hours, you know, he's hit pitch shots, he's working on everything. And finally, he's got worked up a lather after like 3.5 hours, hit 2 large buckets, like he's got no water left. Finally gets in his cart and says, all right, I'll go down there and just say hi. You know, we've been here grinding, like a couple of warriors. And he gets down to VJ and he realizes that VJ doesn't have any golf clubs. The only thing he has is 1 8-iron. He's been hitting 8-irons the whole time this guy's been hitting fucking
holy shit.
Yeah, he's like, he's just been doing the same drill for 3.5 hours with an 8-iron. Like, he didn't even have the rest of his bag out there. He's like, that's the difference between VJ Singh and me. Like, there's no fucking way.
Well, I remember when I was at Torrey Pines, one of my very first jobs, and VJ was kind of in his heydays in the mid-90s, and I remember at the time, I can't remember, his son was young in any way. He was sitting, and the staff bag was laying down, and he was sitting on the edge of it. I don't remember the year. And he was hitting 5-iron fades, just 1, 2, 3. And at this point, his son was just learning how to count. So he would say this, it was like 76, 77. And the 78th one didn't fade. And his little kid's head just dropped. And it started with 1 because he didn't get to 100. That is an absolute. And it was like, I know it's lore, but I was there. Like, you could just see the kid's head drop going, shit. 1, 2.
He's hoping to get out of there, maybe.
Lights, the flat, you know, the floodlights are on. It's just like, it's just the two of them. That's it. There's nobody else there. We're just trying to go home.
I love hearing stories like that, though, because that's what people, you know, and you guys probably hear this a lot. People are like, oh, you know, you get some +2 from a good club. Some guys playing in them, maybe qualified for his first USAM. And he'll talk about the PGA Tour guys. Like, oh, they're not that good. You know, I hit it just like they do. And I always laugh at those guys. I'm like, dude, you have no idea. Like you're a TikTok dancer and these guys are all Michael Jacksons. Like, if you want the truth, like, it's not the same thing. So stop.
You can, we had Danny Saul on the show a while back, and I know Danny from Alberta really well. Played with him way back, and he caddied for VJ for a while, then caddied for Weir, vice versa. And he lived in Hawaii at VJ's camp, and literally a part of being VJ's caddy is you had to be grueling through his fitness regime, diet, his sleep hours. There was no off days. It was like full on VJ all the time. He's a certified maniac, truly.
Yeah.
It's insane. And I don't know if that's obviously a testament to his, you know, tenor and his career, but like that's taking it to like another world craziness.
Well, there's also a separation between guys like that and, you know, because VJ Singh is a self-made elite golfer, right? So is he physically gifted and talented? Sure. Like, does he like sit in the echelon of the most talented golfers ever? No. Like Rory McIlroy, John Rahm, even I'd throw Sam in there. You know, it's probably about 5 or 6 Dustin Johnson. They are roll out of bed. Like, if they disappeared for 5 years and came back and decided to play again, they're roll out of bed top 5, top 10 in the world based on their talent. Like, they still have to go out and play. But, you know, VJ is a testament to the people that have talent, but like probably need to have more outwork everybody than talent. And it takes
Johnny
all
Wonder
kinds
style.
To get the tour. Huh?
Johnny Wonder style. Got to grind all the time.
You got to grind. Constantly grind. Yeah. That is my style.
Yeah, but as you age,
there's nothing wrong with grinding.
I know, but as you age, that's what I was having this conversation with my team today. It's like, as you age, the grind becomes embraced. It's like, you got to get up and you, like, I'm one of those weirdos that loves Goggins and these guys, and I love where people get pushed. And I love
Goggins.
You know, but like even Jocko the other day said, listen, the problem with the world is that if you lack on short-term discipline, you have no chance at anything else, right? And the thing I've always found great about tour players is they never take the day off when they want to, unless it's health related or injury related, right? So, like, I mean, even the days and like when I remember in being in the desert and watching these guys and then being at Rancho and now at this with USC, like you can just tell like the work ethic of certain people. Like I remember Justin Suh when he was with USC, he played differently, he thought differently. And if one of his teammates wasn't working as hard as he was, he just instinctively said something, right? And I don't see a lot of that anymore. And one of the things that I found out is that through all of that, is that those guys all respect. So the guys that you see on television, the guys that you see, and Johnny alluded to it earlier, some of these guys have that talent, right? Some of these guys have that thought process, but very few of them have the ethic and the demonstrative behavior necessary to do everything it takes. Like, obviously with Tiger and the running, it's legendary, but like these guys never stop. And I think that grind, much like what you're doing on social media and how you're going about your life, and things have to be pushed to this level now to be great. And, you know, there are very few Portnoy stories in the world where you can just say that it's going to be a $1 billion company through hard work. But these guys on tour are the best at what they do, but people don't see how hard from sun up to sundown they're doing it.
Yeah, you have to, that's such a good point. You know, it's like anything. Like, that's why I do respond to the David Goggins of the world and the Jordan Petersons of the world. You know, it's always about, you know, whittling it down to the basic truths of what it's going to take, what it's going to really take to do something at an elite level or at a successful level, right? And the work is what makes it fun. So, you know, there's nothing better. Say if you're a professional golfer, like, we have a lot of work to do. That shouldn't, like, fuck yeah, we do. Like, I can't wait to get into we got a lot of work to do part of my life. Like, we're grinding and we're working and we're failing. We're trying this, we're trying that to get better. Because there's nobody on the PGA Tour that succeeds that doesn't love it more than anything in the world. So they love it and they're willing to go to the depths of hell to get what they want. So it's like, you know, it's like any of these weird jobs in golf or anything else. Like, you know, the person that's typically in that spot either got ridiculously fucking lucky and they won't stay there that long, or they're so good and so obsessed with what they do that the world just kind of bullied you into that position. You know, whether it's a content job or a marketing job or a tour, you know, tour builder job or whatever it may be. Like, if you love it and you're willing to go to the depths of hell to get it, you'll get it. Like, you will eventually.
Speaking from experience.
100%. Like, you know, I say this all the time, you know, of March of 2018, I didn't know anybody in the golf industry. That was not even 4 years ago. I didn't know anybody. I was a film guy that knew Nico Bellini and fucking Stu Hagstedt. Like, I didn't know anybody.
But you were clinical on the golf tech.
Well, I just knew golf. I knew golf. I knew the tour very well, and I knew golf clubs very well, and I knew tour golf clubs very well. I knew what companies typically did. I knew golf equipment as a whole, and specifically the tour, I would say, better than most and probably better than everybody, especially when it came to tour equipment, what was in somebody's bag and I studied it. Like, I was obsessed with it. So, you know, I would put myself up, and this is with all due respect to the golf writers that are out there, they could outwrite me, but if I had to sit down in a room with all the guys that were writing equipment over the last 20, 25 years.
Bearing.
I liked my chances in those rooms as far as, like, if we had to take an SAT test, like, on, you know, who had the highest IQ as far as who knew what about what, I would be like, yeah, fuck, let's go. I'll go up against anybody.
That's a pretty cool space to live in, though, for sure. And obviously that's kind of what gravitates people towards you and vice versa in the space, right? I mean, it's just,
I like to think, like, it's my hair, Chris, probably my hair.
I was a little disappointed when I saw you cut that off, but
well, you got to see when it's combed, though. I got to say, it's actually quite nice when it's combed.
I'm all in.
I have
post Peaky Blinders at a time where it's just you in Canada. I'm all in. Good for you.
Yeah, so I got my red tail hat.
There you go.
Yeah, like that. It's not a flex. I've never played it. My buddy gave it to me. It was like he went and played. Said I didn't. You can't play, but I can get you a hat. I'm like, well, fuck, that's fine.
We know a guy that could probably get that dialed in for you. If you're ever up there in the summertime.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's like, whenever I play golf, I meet another Red Tail member. So now I have like a Peaky Blinders crew of Red Tail members that they're waiting for just July. Waiting. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just come home for a little bit.
Yeah.
What's on the agenda for you outside of Christmas? We know you're going to fly down to the desert, make a 24-hour pit stop, and then back for testing. But what's the schedule look like coming up for this year?
Pretty nutty schedule. So I fly back to the States on January 3rd. And then we have a bunch of, you know, stuff happening from the 3rd. And then I got to head to Dubai for like 5 days, like randomly. I just found out today. I'm going to Dubai for something I can't talk about. We're going to Dubai, right. Then turn around, coming back. And then it's like, you know, Amex starts and then Tory. And then I think fucking Pebble Beach is after that, which I'm not going to. Then it's WMO, and I'm at the WMO all week. And then after that's the Genesis, and then thank God the Florida swing starts and the California swing's kind of over.
Are you going to hang out in the desert and play some golf with Pops or what?
I will be out there all week. Yeah, I'll be out there.
Looking forward to a U.S. Open at LACC come June?
I want to get your thoughts. Like, give me your thoughts on. I think the U.S. Open at LACC. Yeah, I want to hear this. I think that the U.S. Open at LACC could be interesting if they set the golf course up with no rough. If they just shave the whole thing down, barely throw any water, the ball bounces all over the place like it did at Chambers, and let it play at like 7,100 yards. There's no way they can make it long enough to where length is going to problem. But let them just turn it into a ping pong contest and see what happens. I think the golf course play ridiculously tough if there's no rough.
See,
they just let the ball roll. Or
you and I are of the same ilk, because like one of the conversations in Southern California was, how are you going to talk about weather, right? So are we going to have a wet? Obviously, that time of the year is not going to be moist at all. So nothing's going to beat there. So you can't talk about that. Are they going to irrigate? You know, and the other part is now with the redo, and they've got all the trim around the bunkers, like a lot of that's considered unplayable in some of these areas because of the grassing. And as someone who's lucky enough to get to play there quite often, I'm more interested in how, like, they play the drivable par four and some of the par threes, and are they going to put front flags and firm greens? Like, it's just my hope that the guys that wear t-shirts under polo shirts at the USGA don't kind of ruin this, right? I think there's a huge opportunity for a golf course in a metropolitan area to play just as you're talking about, brown and firm mm-hmm. and bouncy, in a place where you've got a lot of people who want it to play that way. So I'm interested whether the new school or the old school wins there, because as we were talking offline with Parksy, because Parksy's coming down, you know, in that corridor of the world, I hope they play completely different than the Palisades and Riv, right? I think there's two different golf courses and two different ways to do it. And I think LA has a really unbelievable opportunity to do something nobody else has ever done.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, it doesn't play anything like Riviera. You know, it's a completely different planet in my, you know, estimation. I think the only club that it potentially sort of plays fast and dry, like, is Bel Air, could mm-hmm. play like that sometimes, or the balls bounce. And, you know, there's some funny holes where you get some funny bounces. But LACC, like, the way that they did the redesign, without rough, to me, is the only way it's supposed to play. Like, it should take driver out of play for the longer hitters. It should be a lot of two irons. It should be positioned almost like those guys played Olympic in 2012. But that had rough, but that was a different type of golf course. But LACC kind of, you know, has the ability to play kind of confusing. And I think it needs to be, because it should be that kind of a U.S. Open. Like, you know, that's why I bring up Chambers Bay. Chambers Bay was the worst representation of Northwest golf in the history of fucking golf. But it was, at least it was different.
Yeah.
You know, and I think LACC needs to be that to make it effective. Otherwise, if there's a way to stop the ball from running out, you know, whether it's rough or something else to stop it, because I feel like that golf course play really fast, those guys are going to rip it to shreds.
I agree. And I think it's one of the reasons I'm happy that it's the US Open, because I think it's the one place that can push that envelope. And so I hope they do it, because, you know, even with some of the new tee boxes, and, you know, if like three comes to mind, it's going to be a blind tee shot, and some of those things are going to be awkward. I just hope they don't overthink it to the point of distance versus the way that it could come across, regardless of how it shows on television. I'm more interested in how it shows to the players, because it's fun that it's actually in this type of metropolitan area and the way that they can do it at that time of the year. And they should be far enough away from gloom, so that's not going to be a problem either in June. So I think it has the opportunity to be one or the other. I think it's going to be a giant flop, or I think somebody's actually going to say the right thing and do the right thing. And I sure hope that, because for what they did with the redo and the locale of it all and the history of that club and its ties to Southern California and Los Angeles, I really do hope it shows well.
What they did to Brookline, for example, like at Brookline this year, Brookline was, I can't even put it into words. It was perfect. Like, you know, it was a U.S. Open. The moment you drove in, it was, we're at a U.S. Open. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that the golf course looked like they thought it out about how they were going to, you know, challenge the best players in the world. And there was rough there. You know, there was rough in places. But ultimately, like, you had to stripe it and you had to put it good. And it demanded that. And I feel like LACC has the opportunity to kind of have the same sort of idea. Like, you have to stripe it, you have to be really sharp with your short game, and you have to put the shit out of it. And you don't have to be the longest. You just got to strike it well. you know, you gotta manage your, you gotta control your golf ball. And that's not always about speed and distance. And I think LACC has the ability to identify whoever's hitting it and striking the ball, controlling the golf ball the finest that week. They have the ability to identify the true player. And I think if they jerry-rig it and create the other fucking disaster scenario, I think they won't identify the best player. They'll identify the luckiest player.
You know, I agree with you. I'm affiliated with Congaree, and I just think that's the way to play golf, right?
Like, that place is so dope.
I just think it's...
Congaree's so dope.
Right? And even the PGA Tour backed off on Saturday and put it up short and let them hit wedges in all day, and they kind of... The golf course wasn't designed, and they hit this low score, and it's like, I was kind of bummed because, you know, John just killed it that day because it was available, and I know he's one of the best in the world, but the golf course shouldn't have been that accessible, and they kind of made a decision process that I didn't agree with, but I'm not part of that, and the right people still won. But I do hope there's shades of Cal Club and Congaree and some of those golf courses in that U.S. Open. I think that's the beneficial and the really big additive for that tournament. I think it would be awesome.
Yeah.
John, you'll be down there for the event, right?
Yeah, I will be at I'll be there, and then I'll be at these are the majors. I just got my major schedule actually this week, so I will be at Oak Hill for the PGA. Will not be at Augusta because nobody lets anybody do anything at Augusta, so it's pointless to go. Like, we can't even get the trucks in there. you're showing up there and just you're hanging out at the 7-Eleven on Washington Street down the block. So forget that. Going to Oak Hill, going to LACC, going to Birkdale. Going to Scottish Open. I'll be at the U.S. Women's Open at Pebble. I'll be at the U.S. Am.
That's going to be dope.
Yeah, the U.S. Women's Open is going to be on fire. Yeah. And then I'll be at the Chevron in Houston for that ladies tournament, that major. And then I'm missing one. There's one other one I'm missing, but I'll be at a bunch of majors here.
That's awesome. One word of advice, because I remember you forgot to lock your car last time you were in downtown L.A. with a golf set in your back. Yeah. So maybe this time. We'll find you a parking garage.
Hey, listen, if you come to the South Bay, you're covered. We're good. You can stay and run out of here. We're good.
I'm trying to remember that. I'm trying to forget it, actually. Don't get me fired up on LA right now. Did I tell you after I posted something about LA? I think it's sitting in traffic, and I was like, my clubs got stolen. Now I'm sitting in traffic, like, you know, totally happy I don't live here anymore. And I got three DMs like, dude, don't hate on LA, this and that. Like, dude, this is where we live. And I said, finally, like, my response to all of them was like the same. I'm like, I live there for 20 years. I pay taxes still in that state, even though I don't live there. I've earned my fucking complaint card, bro. Like, this place is
back
wrong.
They're woke.
Yeah, we're living wrong. Like, it's too expensive. It's poorly run. And they're letting the, inmates run the asylum, so it's okay if I can. I have my opinions.
It's Wokesville, USA, right, Derek?
That's why I live in the South Bay. I am insulated and protected.
Yeah,
it's like
it's just a shade. It's not quite blue. It's just like a shade of reddish.
It's like I'm the one dot of Orange County north of Long Beach, right? So it's like I've got that one area where I don't touch a freeway. I've got three piers and beaches. I've got everything. I got the hill. I got the peninsula. I got it all. I don't have to leave unless I choose to.
Usually the only red territories are like in Newport Beach from like MacArthur to fucking Costa Mesa Avenue. It was like a six block square of like where all the red staters live.
Yeah, if you tentacle off the toll road, the 73, you're probably going to be red. Other than that, there's not much else.
No, if you get to Aliso Viejo, those are friendly waters.
Yeah, like you're not bad there, especially if you get towards the inland part, right? There's a little
Laguna Niguel. Laguna Niguel, they speak my language. But when you start venturing down in like Laguna, down where all the surf is, then you're gonna struggle down there.
Yeah. In Bluesville. Yeah. Well, Johnny, we're gonna wrap early tonight because we're committed to keeping our pods to 45 minutes to 60 minutes, and we're right at that magic minute. So not to cut you off because you know you have an open invitation to come back on anytime. We're definitely gonna bring you back on before the U.S. Open for sure to do a little talk. But even before that, love to bring you on to talk about the thing we were gonna talk about tonight that we couldn't talk about tonight. So
yeah, we can't talk about it.
That stuff launches.
Bring me back on. Let's talk about it.
Well,
I think it'd be great.
Yeah, we'll do that because there's a big night on the 4th, and there's some things that we can talk about after that once the embargo is lifted. So that'll be fun for those of us on the other side. But the only thing I want you to go on record, because we are going to bring you back, so I'm going to include ladies and men. So that's 9 majors. How many Callaway wins?
3.
Oh. I like that. I was going 4. I'm at 4.
I can guarantee you, John Rahm's going to win a second one, guaranteed. And Sam Burns or Xander Schauffele are going to win one or two. They're either all three going to win one, or one of them's like, they're either going to at least win one, or they might win two. Like, so either Sam or Xander's going to have like a knockout year, and Rahm's going to win a major.
That's I'm down for Xander W. Not to hate on Burns, but Ueda was a fun podcast, and I would love to have him back on salivating.
Yeah,
over Xander's putting.
Plus,
so.
For those in Xander's camp, and Johnny knows best, the twinkle in his eye is back, which I love to see.
Yeah,
it's back.
I was literally just with him. What's today? Today's Thursday or Friday?
Thursday.
I was just with him on Monday for his final testing. And actually, you'll see something on social media go out tomorrow, which is from that day. It's actually pretty cool. So look at like Odyssey social media tomorrow. And you'll see a pretty good video. But like, he does have the twinkle in his eye. Like, he's feeling good about it. He's kind of feeling himself right now. So he's having a big year. But so is Sam. So. Who knows, man?
Scary.
Yeah, and so like one of those social medias, like between Tech and Austin, like, you know, you can just see Xander doing different things and doing Xander things again, and it's really fun because golf is really good when he's at the top and he's playing well. There's just something about that kid that the world loves, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, he's rad. His dad is his dad's the show, though.
I went to school with his dad.
His dad is the show.
He was the show long before Xander was a zygote.
Yeah, Ogre is the show, man.
You're not wrong.
I love that guy. He's rad. Well, thanks for having me on the show, boys.
Always.
Yeah, man, always. Thanks for making time. You don't sound very well, so I was like, I don't want to beat him to death on too many things. He sounds like he needs a little bit of recovery time.
We're a little tired. I'm not going to be on it. Like, we had my birthdays yesterday, and the boys today, and your daddy needs to go sleep. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Well, go get some rest, my man.
I will.
And as always, a pleasure talking to you. I love picking your brain about stuff and throwing some shade at you. So
my pleasure. Thank you, boys.
All the best.
We'll be there.
All right, Johnny. Have a great night.
Thanks, Johnny. We'll talk to you soon. Man.
Thanks, right, boys.
And happy birthday, belated, by the way.
And to the kid.
Hey, thanks. Right, take care, guys. Bye.